Welcome to the Dominion Embassy Broadcast. You are about to hear a Kingdom Living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and His Kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
Praise the Lord. I'm going to be teaching you from the pages of one of my books I've entitled Unveiling Jesus and His Kingdom System. Now, these are series of teachings from 1 to 8. I'm going to speak to you from the very first series that I have subtitled The Ark of Rest. What we are going to be doing is that I'm going to expose you to an introduction, and then I would read to you the story of Noah. And then we would unveil Jesus Christ and His kingdom system from the story of Noah. Now, Luke chapter 24 verse 13 to 16 says, and I quote, "Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, whilst they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him." Unquote. When our blessed Lord Jesus resurrected from death, he engaged in two types of ministry to believers or his followers. The first was the unveiling of himself through the scriptures of the Old Testament. Luke chapter 24 verse 27 and then verse 44 to 45. And the second ministry Jesus Christ engaged in after he resurrected was the further unveiling of the kingdom of God. And we find that in Acts chapter 1 verse 3. Before his resurrection, Jesus went about doing good acts and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Acts chapter 10 verse 38. In this light, he performed a lot of miracles. But when he rose from death, Jesus did not go around doing good works and healing. In fact, there is no record in the Bible that Jesus healed anyone after his resurrection or engaged in public ministry. This is unlike what the average person would have done. If you were Jesus, maybe you would have organized a massive public crusade where you would show yourself physically to everyone. Then you would testify to all about how you have defeated death and how your words that you resurrect from death have been fulfilled. And maybe you will show off some enhanced healing powers. But our Jesus did not do that. He stayed away from the public as if he had not resurrected. He only focused on ministering to his believers. And two of such were on a road to a village called Emmaus. When Jesus joined himself to them, he did not want them to recognize him physically. Can you imagine that? So their eyes were restrained from identifying him as the risen Lord. Rather, he wanted them to see him through the pages of the Bible. And that's in Luke chapter 24 verse 27. I quote it. "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Unquote. Jesus ministered in a similar way of revealing himself through the pages of the Bible when he suddenly stood among his 11 apostles and some other disciples of his who were gathered together. We find this record in Luke chapter 24 verse 44 to 45. And I quote, "Then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you whilst I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. and he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures, unquote. By the law of first mention, this post-resurrection ministry of Jesus unveiling himself in the Bible is a prototype of the kind of ministry God wants us to have towards believers. Beloved, the ultimate blessing that God wants to give you is not having all the monies in the world or travel opportunities to see the whole world, including outer space. The ultimate blessing of God is not having a family, a wonderful job, or a thrice successful ministry. It is rather to let you see Jesus in the pages of the Bible. Hallelujah. You know, some people take their word life for granted. They feel that what is important as a believer is having the anointing or seeing Jesus in dreams or visions or even literally. But that is not it. If the Holy Spirit came to glorify and testify of Jesus and we are still in his dispensation, then seeing Jesus in the scriptures is relevant for the Holy Spirit and for you now. John chapter 15 verse 26 and chapter 16 verse 13 to 14. Yes, my friend, seeing Jesus in a vision or literally is to be subject to the picture of Jesus that the Bible gives us about him. Therefore, seeing Jesus in the pages of the Bible is of higher importance in God's will for you, especially in this post-resurrection era. You know, as it was in the beginning when Jesus just resurrected, so will it be in this end time. This is the time when our dearest Christ Jesus is just about to come physically again in the rapture and the second coming. Now, we have just discussed the first ministry of Jesus when he rose from death. This was our Lord Jesus revealing himself in the pages of the Bible, especially the Old Testament. Now, the second ministry that our dearest Jesus engaged in when he resurrected was teaching to unveil the kingdom of God to his believers. Acts chapter 1 verse 2b to verse 3 says, and I quote, "Apostles whom he had chosen, to him he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." So for 40 days after resurrecting from death, Jesus had exclusive meetings with his apostles, and the only subject he spoke about was the kingdom of God. Wow! Now, how can you teach the kingdom of God to believers if it does not go beyond being born again or going to heaven? Actually, Jesus started his word ministry on earth teaching the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 4 verse 17 and chapter 5 verse 2. It is because the subject of the kingdom of God is very heavy and covers mankind's life both presently and in future. And so after his resurrection, our dear Lord intensified his kingdom teachings, which he had earlier started before his death, with his miracles sandwiched in between them. Beloved, this means that the kingdom of God is the beginning and the ending of God's will for mankind. It is God's ultimate for your life, and so should not be eclipsed by any other subject, as it is the finish line for mankind and therefore should be kept in view always. Now let's talk about the kingdom system. This kingdom of God is the royalty, the rule, and realm of God. It existed before the church and will continue even after the church age. The kingdom of God is brought about by the person, principles, and performance of our dear Jesus on earth and the cross. And it is fully expressed in heaven now. But it is to be everywhere, including in you, your family, the local church, the nations, and everywhere that mankind is. In some other words, the kingdom of God is a position, a lifestyle, an arrangement by which we can please God now. Such was what Jesus modeled and taught to his apostles or believers after his resurrection. And such teaching is to permeate the church world, even as we get ready for the coming of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in this end time. Beloved, the revealing of Jesus is the revealing of the kingdom of God. This is because no king can be divorced from his kingdom. Yes, the kingdom is the treasure of every king or queen, because that is what makes them a king or queen practically. Therefore, you cannot unveil Christ Jesus, the King of Kings, in the pages of the Bible without unveiling his kingdom system. No wonder our dear Lord's post-resurrection ministry to his believers involved unveiling himself and the kingdom of God. My friend, Jesus is the Word of God, and the Bible is the Word of God. And so Jesus must be in every page of the Bible. Yes, our Lord always comes to you in the volume of the book or the Bible. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 7. He says, "Lo, I come in the volume of the book." That is why whenever the Word of the Lord, especially the Old Testament, is being exposed, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ can come to you in the volume of the Bible or the book. Now, some benefits in discovering Jesus in the Bible includes the following. Number one, when you see Jesus, your life will be prolonged. This is because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. So when you see him, his resurrection life is impacted to you. And dying aspects of your life begins to come alive again. Hallelujah. Number two, seeing Jesus in scriptures is the safest way to be sure that you are not deceived into seeing another being as Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 4. Jesus predicted that there will be many false Christs who will come showing various signs and wonders. That is why you must see Jesus in the Bible to be safe, so that you are not deceived by the many false Christs who will rise up in this end time. Number three, seeing Jesus in the Bible dissolves problems, simplifies confusing and complicated life circumstances, calms and settles you in faith and rest. Seeing Jesus in the Bible heals your body and your mind. You know, the anointing that breaks the yoke is in the Word, which when it is broken down, we have the oil, the anointing being extracted from the pages of the Bible.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the Word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles, and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Finally, seeing Jesus in the scriptures activates the Holy Spirit, who came to glorify Him by transforming you into the image of Jesus that you see. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18 tells us that. Now, with this background, with this introduction in the New Testament, I want us to go to the story of Noah, and I'm going to read that story, which is very popular, to you, and then we will move on to expose or to unveil Jesus and His kingdom system from the story of Noah. Now, the story of Noah is found in Genesis chapter 6, verse 13 to 22. And it says, "And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh have come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above, and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it lower second and third decks. And behold, I myself am bringing flood water on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of the birds after their kind, of animals after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after its kind, two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. And you shall take for yourself of all food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourself, and it shall be food for you and for them. Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so did he." Unquote. Now, the story of Noah is a classic display of the love of God to humanity. Why do I say that? The background to this story was that some fallen angels came in human form and got married to human females. This alliance was so widespread in the world at the time. All families on earth were going into union with these fallen angels who had come in human form. This was so trendy that it was an odd thing in the then world not to be involved in it. And this perverse union brought forth to children who were huge in size or were giants. It is clear that these giants were the pride of every family then, because of the widespread patronage of the fallen angels. Now, the reason for Satan's strategic contamination of the pure human race was based on what God had told him in Eden. It was that the child of a woman would crush his head one day. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Of course, the devil wanted to prevent this. So he decided to contaminate the pure human race by sending these half angels, half humans to pollute the full bred human race through womanhood. Now the issue is that Satan would have succeeded totally had God not intervened with Noah's flood. The underlying sin, my friend, that made God intervene with the flood was the same sin that made him send Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden. It was that mankind was filled with helping themselves to survive instead of relying on the provisions of God. This was the sin of man. Beloved, the sin of Adam and Eve that made God send them away from his first kingdom system was that they did not rest in what God had made them already, that is, in his image. Genesis 1, 26 and 28. Rather, they disdained God's work, put it aside, and tried using their own strength to become what God had made them already. Genesis 3, 1 to 3. They did this by eating the forbidden fruits with the aim of being like God, although they were already like God through God's singular work. Now, when they realized that their lack of rest in God's provision rather made them naked, they again used their own human effort to sow fig leaves to help themselves out of the result of their lack of rest by clothing themselves. Beloved, sin always leads to sin. So beware, because in another form, you can repeat the sin of not resting in God's singular work or provisions even today. So our first parents used their own efforts or strength to get by on earth. You know, this is what God does not like: shunning his efforts for yourself efforts. I say it again. This is what God does not like. He does not like shunning his efforts for your own self efforts. Now let us talk about the trending sin of self effort or violence. This lack of rest in what God had already made humans is what motivated the pure human race of Noah's time to accept the union with the fallen angels who had come in human form. So with time, violence or self-effort became the order of the day during Noah's time. Thus, beloved, the people of Noah's day lived by using their own physical strength or by violence. There was no rest around, as theirs was a survival of the fittest world, as it is now. The trend was, as it is now, that the stronger people were in themselves, the better. It is this dependence on self-effort, self-righteousness, and what one could do to help himself that made God destroy all those who lived like that. Genesis chapter 6 verse 13 says, and I quote, "And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth," unquote. My friend, the key is to rest. Noah and his family of seven were spared and saved from death because Noah's name means rest. Genesis 5:29. So Noah, or rest, found grace in the sight of God. In other words, Noah and his family were the only pure human race who had not followed the violence or self-effort trend in their world. Thus, they did not rely on their own righteousness or efforts. They refused to have anything to do with the trending fashion of having giants or self-effort-based people or belief in their family. Genesis 6:9. Yes, Noah's family rested in what God had made them. Although they looked physically little and weak before the giants who were all over the place and who perpetuated their self-effort beliefs. Rather, Noah and his family focused their lives on building the ark of rest that they were instructed to prepare. In other words, Noah and his family focused on Jesus and his performance for them and not on themselves. And beloved, this is how to live in the kingdom system. So, we have discussed the background to the story of Noah's flood. And I want us to focus on discovering Jesus and his kingdom system in the ark of rest that Noah or rest built. So Noah put all his belief, attention, and life on an ark that God had told him to build. My friend, rest only comes by putting all your beliefs, attention, and life on Christ Jesus and what he has already done and provided on the cross. This is because it is a complete and perfect work in God's sight. So during Noah's time, God said he was going to destroy all the half-human, half-angel infested people from the earth. It was in order to save the real human beings God had made, and out of whom the seed of the woman will descend to crush the head of the serpent or Satan. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Beloved, God had to defend his creation. He had to defend his creation from the destructive strategy of the devil. So the flood that God brought to destroy mankind was a kind of defending real human beings from the fallen angels and their human descendants. This is what makes Noah's flood a story of the love of God in preserving humanity from the devil. Now the spirit of these fallen angels have since been bound in chains of darkness so that they do not come on earth to repeat their diabolic strategy. We can find this in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 19 to 20. I quote it. By whom also he, that is Jesus, went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah whilst the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is 8 souls, were saved through water. Unquote. Ladies and gentlemen, this is where we are going to end today's session. I'm going to be with you again as we look at Noah's ark and we unveil the Lord Jesus and his kingdom system from the pages of the Old Testament. God bless you.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.